And so if you would turn to your Bibles, did everybody turn these in? So you can get a chance here at the whatever they're giving away. I didn't know whether we were going to hold these for next month or we put them in for this month, but either way, it'll be fine. I either need a bigger desk or be more coordinated. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Is everybody there? I'm not. Say amen if you found it. Amen. Amen. Everybody sleeping? 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but as such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, and will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we start this, I do pray, Father, that you would bless, that our ears would be open, that I'd be able to explain things in such a way to be easily understood. And I pray, Father, that this would edify your saints, and Lord, that we would glorify your name in it. Amen. Okay, well, as we go through this, it's dealing with different specific problems of really it's many of them, but it's really, I find it a good overall teaching. I've made some different notes on it, and I probably stop somewhere a little bit longer than I should because I want to take a point. So I don't know if we're going to be able to finish it like every week, finish one or not. I don't know about that particularly. But they are common to man. And so in your study, you can read along with me on the second paragraph, often knowing that we are not alone in this matter of difficulties as a cause for encouragement. And then he goes and he gives three different references. One of the things that in this introduction that isn't addressed that I think would help us also is to understand that a lot of our problems are self-induced. Okay, it talks about here that if we go to 1 Kings 19, would somebody get that? Dave, would I start with you? You go to 1 Kings 19, read verses 14 and 18. And Shalene, if you would go to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. And Adrian, please, 1 Peter 5, 7 through 11. You'll get the third one, okay? So, Dave, if you would read that.
1 Kings 19, 14, 18. Mm-hmm. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which is not kissing.
Okay, if you understand, if you've read your Old Testament before, you're going to understand where we're at is Elijah just had a great victory. 450 prophets of Baal, they took care of all them, and they went, and he ran before the chariots into the main city. He had that much energy. He was running before the chariots. Now imagine, this guy was an old guy. He had enough energy to run before the chariots, and there was this woman there that handed him a note, Jezebel, and the note said, tomorrow you're going to be a dead. That's my paraphrase, right? And it bothered him so much, he ran away. Okay, it was over 90 kilometers he left. And then he was so exhausted that he wished himself, and he wished himself dead. So think about it, you know, from, you know, this victory, right, to a couple days later, he's wishing himself dead. So he makes this statement to the Lord. The Lord feeds him, nourishes him, brings him, makes him stronger. And then he goes and he it's one of my favorite events of the scripture, because it's really like life, and it tells man for what he is. And then he says, I'm the only one that's out there doing right. And the Lord answers, no, I've reserved 7,000 men in Israel. So he wasn't alone. But the Lord shows him. But here's the prophet did everything right, but trouble came, right? trouble came. I always wondered what would have happened if he said, okay, Jezebel, come on, let's go. You know, the Lord's going to take care of me. Well, he wouldn't have to run 100 miles or 100 clicks away, right? Okay, how about the second reference in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14?
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified.
That's right. And so he's talking about the things that come upon us because, in context, because we're living the Christian life. Okay, we're identifying ourselves with Christ, we're living the Christian life, and then there's fiery trials that come upon us because of that. And that's true. And so I like to use these verses, and I like to clarify their context so that you don't misuse it in your mind. Okay, a lot of people, what they do with Scripture is they find a portion of Scripture that they like, so to speak, but it's out of context. And verses out of context do not have power. The Word of God is quick and what? Powerful. Okay? If it's rightly divided, if it's rightly used. But some people, they use, well, I can do all things, right? So that means I can work 80 hours a week, right? They use it. No, it's out of context. That's not what it's talking about. And so in this study, I wanted to, because this is concerning problems, this is serious business, I want you to understand things in their context so you don't try to rely on Scripture and you're misusing Scripture and then wondering, okay, God, why didn't you obey me or something? You know, why didn't you do what you were supposed to do, okay? So those trials are when you're living a Christian life, when you're trying to serve the Lord, when you are doing right, you know, that kind of thing. So no, understand the context. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 7 through 11.
All right. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, mm-hmm. whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. There's more than just in any of these verses, you know, you can speak on them quite at length. But you have to understand that it talks about you have an adversary, right? So there is adversarial things involved here. But also at the end of that, you'll also notice that he says, after you have suffered a little while, it has a positive. Read the last verse. After it's suffered a while, what does it do for us?
It says, accomplished in the world. Verse 10, I guess?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle mm-hmm. you.
Okay. So there's even a result of when that comes upon you, because the context is adversarial, you know, that kind of thing, the fiery darts of the wicked, so to speak. And it does have a positive effect when you stay through it, when you go through the trial. Okay? And so there's another one. And so all of those are true and all of those happen. So problems are going to be there. You might as well know it. And we're going to talk about why we have such confusion over this matter. I have one other verse, but in just a minute, and you can get it. It's Job 5:7. It can be said that to have problem puts us in good company. As long as we are in this present world, problems will be a part of our daily experience. Some things that are true relative to problems. Now, these things are true, okay? Number one is problems are inevitable and unavoidable. Unavoidable. Go ahead and read that verse in Job.
Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward.
That's right. That's a pretty clear teaching. Man is born. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. And you might as well understand that. There's nothing you can do to avoid them. Okay? Now, I put problems are a means by which we grow. Okay? By which we grow. Problems are not necessarily bad. But I have to say, when you're going through problems, it feels pretty bad. But the end result is make you perfect, establish you. God will help you in all of these things. Problem solving is the central activity of life. Problem solving. Okay? Problems grow more complex each year. Yes? They didn't get them, huh? Okay, yeah, that's right. Sorry about that. Did you have your memory verse? Any memory verses here? Okay. Okay. Now, we went over that at family camp when we talked about balance. And we talked about that the world is getting more complex. And if you don't think so, tell me, do we live a faster-paced life now because of all of our inventions, or a slower-paced life? They always promised, all the inventions said what? You'll save what?
Time.
Are we saving all this time? We have so much time we don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm just lazing out. No, most of us are so busy that we don't know what to do. So anyways, it's an interesting phenomenon, isn't it? Okay. And then it talks about problem solvers become better problem solvers. In other words, once you start to go through this experience, handle your problems, learn how to handle your problems biblically, get over it, mature yourself, the next time things happen, you'll be better at it. So the more you solve problems using the Word of God, you're going to be more mature in it. Problem solvers respond rather than react. Now there's a thought. They respond rather than react. Now, how about you? What, are you a responder or a reactor when you come into a problem? Go ahead, tell me the truth. It's okay. You're a reactor, yeah? A lot of times we react, don't we? Problem comes, we react, we spin ourselves around, we go crazy, or, you know, go all nervous and everything like that. And sometimes then we make a quick decision, right? And then we go, oh, that's the worst decision I've ever made, or at least this month, right? You know, those kind of things. So the answers to those are unavoidable, grow, bad, central, complex, better, respond. Okay, everybody have them? Because what I'd like you to do is complete this, and then when you get all of these together, you should just staple them together. Because then when you're later on, when you're ministering to somebody else, or if you forget yourself, you can refer back to this. Because a lot of times you're going to run into problem people with problems, right? And Corinthians tells you that when God has helped you through a difficulty, then you are to minister to another person with that difficulty. In other words, you can say, wait a second, I've gone through, the Lord has helped me through something very similar to this. Let me explain to you how God did this. And you can help them through that. There are some false attitude towards problems. Now, I don't want to throw the proverbial rock in your, you know, your gears. But there are false attitude towards problems. A few of these would be, only a few. Problems are negative and bad because they involve us in unpleasant pressures, distressing conflict, or are inconvenient interruptions of our plans for a smooth, easy life. Well, many Christians believe that everything's going to go just fine. And they really get off track a lot when things don't. Because they have, it's called a basic assumption. When I talk to people, you know, and I talk to them, I said, what is your, you know, you have a basic assumption, and this is it. And this, a basic assumption is something that really controls your life. you know, because it's basic. And so they have wrong basic assumptions. We think that the lack of problems should be the reward for hard work, careful planning, and clear thinking. A problem-free life is what we hope for. Isn't that true? It is. But that's a wrong assumption. Because the Lord has a different... when you got saved, His plan for you was not a problem-free life. That wasn't it. He wants you... He has a plan for you. You know what His plan for you is? To become like Him in His image. That's the overall plan. You have to rethink that. God's overall plan is to transform you into Christ-likeness, not to give you a problem-free life. So, a lot of people have to shake their head a little bit about that, because really, they have an assumption that's wrong. Okay, we falsely think that if we love God, commit our lives to Him, and diligently serve Him, He will work things out for us so that, over the page here, everything will run smoothly. We find it easy to believe that evildoers should have these problems, but we ask, why does a just and loving God permit us to experience difficulty and hard times? I don't know if you've ever asked that of the Lord. Why is this happening to me? Lord, I've been going to church all this time. I wonder what Brother Boyle has said. Lord, I've served You, did a church plant, had many people come out of my church, did good, followed up, loved my wife, raised my children, all this other stuff, and here I am after 30 years, I was thinking about settling back, and now I've got cancer. Right? Those are the kind of things. Well, the psalmist asked that also. So it says here, go to Psalm 73. Now, I understand this is a lot of verses. Who wants to read? Anybody just like, Rob, you're next. Now, you can read as many verses as you want, and then we'll just keep on going, right? So go to Psalm 73, open your Bible to about the middle, and you'll get the Psalms. Psalm 73. And really pay attention to what he's saying here. Go ahead, if you would, please.
Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clue. As for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious of the foolish when they saw prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassionate them about as a chain of violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily.
They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore His people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end.
Let's go ahead. Joel, please.
Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakeneth, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and thou hast pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory.
Amen. Amen. Now that's a lot of verses there, but did you pay attention what was going? He was envious of the wicked. because he didn't see. He saw that they prospered, and they didn't even have as much trouble as he had, and he was serving the Lord. But at the end of it, when he went into the sanctuary, his eyes were opened, and he saw something. But then he said that, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was like a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand," that the Lord was with him through all of his troubles. The difference is with the redeemed people, God is directing your lives, and he's trying to transform you into Christ's likeness. He will allow certain things in your life. He will even allow the adversary close to you. If the result is, he knows the results of things, that you're going to grow more like Christ. With Job, he let the adversary very close, didn't he? Now, most of us, believe me, we are not as, and I say we are not as mature as Job. Believe me, if I lost everything like Job did and experienced everything, I would like to think I was mature enough to praise God in all of it. But I'm not going to say I would, because that's quite a sincere believer right there in Job. So the attitude is, the primary factor in facing problems is attitude. You have to understand that problems are there, sometimes adversarial. Sometimes God allows them in our life. Many times, because of our own willfulness, problems come into our life. How many of you ever had any kind of money problems? Right? You know, I used to have all kinds of money problems. When I first got saved, Tana and I, we had money problems. And that's because we didn't know what to follow the Lord in. And so it was, the problem is our attitude. Yes, Dave?
Just the, with the psalmist, what was the blank in that one? Before that paragraph? About Psalm 73?
Yeah, Psalm 73, 1 through 24. What's, I don't have a blank in mind. You have a blank?
Yeah, it says with the psalmist's
confusion over this. Confusion. Yes, I'm sorry. So it's your attitude. How are you going to go through this problem? Even if it's you caused, right? You made a poor decision. It's now causing you a problem. What is your attitude going to be in it? Are you going to go and get frustrated, angry, do nothing about it? You know, what are you going to do about it all? And the choice, as we have seen, is not if you'll accept problems as a part of life, but how you accept them. You're going to have problems. How many of you live a problem-free life? And you can do everything that you want. Really, you can try your best to, you know, like I change oil in my car so it won't blow up. You know, that kind of, you could do everything you can, but yeah, things happen, don't they? Continually. Daily. So how are you going to handle those problems? But how? What we see is a product of what we believe we are seeing. Now that's an interesting thing. The product is what we think we're seeing. Now look at this. Go to Numbers 13. It's an interesting portion of scriptures. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers 13. And then verse 30 through 33. It's a common thing, but let's read it together here. Yes, please, just continue to read. You don't have your glasses? Oh, I wasn't talking to you anyways. Oh, who's going to read? Okay.
Numbers 13, 30 to 33?
Yeah, that's it.
And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up inhabitants thereof, and all of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. so we were in their sight.
Okay. Now that's an interesting statement at the end there. It says here, we see things not as they are, but as we are. A perfect example of this is found in the portion of scripture we just read. And each spy saw the same situation, but the positive report saw that they were what? Able. Right? The negative report saw that they were unable. But it's interesting, the phrase, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. In other words, we saw ourselves a certain way, and then we projected onto the giants that they saw us that way. It's an interesting play, it's an interesting thought. But so many times we don't think, and I'm not getting into the doctrine of self-esteem here just yet or anything like that, but you have to understand who you are in the Lord and that God is with you. He holds you by his right hand. And so many times fear prevents us from going forward for the Lord. It is a crippling. It can be crippling to many people. Their whole life decisions have been made not because of confidence in the Lord, but through fear. God does not want you to be operating in that realm. The perspective of Joshua was the problems are there for growth. Numbers 14, 6 through 10. Let me read this, please. The people of the land, giants, and problems, we'll use that, they are bread for us. And your study says one is strengthened by eating bread. He said they are bread for us. In other words, we could just eat them up, and even receive strengthening through that. There are two viewpoints. I smiled with this because that of the pessimist and that of the optimist. Okay? It is said that an optimist may see a light where there is none. But why must the pessimist always run and blow it out? Or, as another said, a pessimist sees a problem in every opportunity, whereas an optimist sees an opportunity in every problem. A pessimist would rewrite Psalms 34 and say, "O come, let us magnify our problems together. Let us talk of them until they become impossible." There is a place for valid consideration and thought when you have a problem. But I don't know whether you run into people that no matter what happens, they give you a list of why it can't be resolved. That's a pessimistic side of things. We need to look and be realistic. I don't say that you need to be an optimist except for this, that you need to trust the Lord. So that's an optimistic viewpoint, isn't it? That you can have victory in life. That the problems that you are facing, that you can have a victory in those things. So that is optimistic, isn't it? Rather than recite to your mind all the reasons why you can't have victory. Now tell me about this. Now really, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? If you think about all the reasons that you can't do something, are you going to do it? The answer is no, you're not. You are not going to do it. As a matter of fact, you'll be so afraid of it that you won't even go forward and try to do it. And I can remember in my own life that there are things that happened in my own life, especially my younger life, that the reason I didn't go for it is because I had all these things there. I didn't have any money. I don't know if I could make the grade. See, because after high school, I had the possibility of going to college, and there was all these things that we lined up why I couldn't do that. Okay, and it might have changed my life for the better, who knows? I mean, I'm thankful for my life I had. Maybe I would have got saved quicker, who knows? I don't know those things. But that's really directed that, and so then I went into the Air Force, which was good for me. I liked the Air Force, but who would have known? Now, how many times have you not done something because you were a pessimist? You think a lot? I don't know, she's raising her finger there. That's right. Yeah, well, good. And it needs to. And it needs to. I didn't say go foolishly into something and misuse scripture. But why beat it down? Especially when you're convinced if the Lord would have you do it. And that's what you need to be. Okay? So It says here, we magnify our problems by doubt. This is one that every now and then I have to struggle. The next one, procrastination. You know what procrastination is, right? Mañana, right? I'll do it tomorrow, or maybe next week, or maybe next month, or maybe next year. But isn't it funny, those things on our list that we keep on putting off are the ones that we're in doubt of, the ones that we really don't know whether we can fulfill. And it goes out. And self-preoccupation. Okay? Consider in the light of what we have studied, this statement by Wiersbe, that's Warren Wiersbe, God made us, and God is able to empower us to do whatever he calls us to do. Denying that we can accomplish God's work is not humility, it is the worst kind of pride. Preoccupation. We can, that in Christ, through Christ, I can do all things as he would have me to do. Properly use the verse. Norman Cousins sent this message from the surface of the moon. No problem need any longer be considered unsolvable. Now, that was a very optimistic view. They're still having some problems, but now they're trying to go to Mars. Why? Have you ever thought about that? It's like, you know, buying a condo in the middle of the desert or something. Why would anybody want to spend billions of dollars? We've already invented Velcro. I mean, come on. And you did know that the space is, through the space exploration, that's how they came up with Velcro. Yeah. They needed to figure out how to hold themselves in a place while they're floating around there. Our purpose in this series is to consider a selected number of problems common to man and scriptural solutions. It will be found that they are not, in fact, problems at all, but rather opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. That's a nice statement. They are. Except the Lord is going to solve them. We don't have the wherewithal to solve them, but the Lord can solve them. Lord can solve your relationship problems. You say, well, I have some pretty poor relationships with these or that. He can solve that. Life is 10% about what happens to you and 90% of what you do about it. So rethink your problems and rethink about what God's goal is in your life. God's goal in your life isn't to give you a problem-free life. Where is the problem-free life? That's a promise. It's not for this earth. Even though he does tell you on this earth that he'll help you and he'll do all these, he'll prosper you, he'll do a lot of things for you. But yet, you're going to be, because he wants to see you transformed into the image of his dear son. When we get to heaven, then we're going to have no problems to solve. They're all going to be solved for us. Okay, well, I think we'll end with that. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. And I do pray, Father, that you would bless. And Lord, bless our concepts of things as we study through the scripture. And I pray, Father, that as we tackle each individual problem, that you would open up our understanding through the Word of God. And Lord, that it would help us to go on to solve other problems in our life scripturally. So bless us now as we continue. Bless the morning service. Amen.